we talk about Christmas on the We Are So Xmas podcast. Today, we're not going to talk about Christmas, though. So if you are here for Christmas things, kindly meet us back on the 25th. We'll talk to you then about Christmas things. Hopefully. I mean, hopefully the world isn't quite as crazy as it is today that we feel so compelled to talk about all these other things.
Non-Christmas things.
I mean, I very rarely post on Facebook, Cliff. I mean, the last time I posted on Facebook was like a month ago.
Really?
Yeah, I really am not a prolific Facebook poster.
Interesting.
And I was compelled yesterday to post on Facebook. And I posted something like, millions of people were watching a dragon and a falcon ignite the sky while riots ruled the earth in the middle of a global pandemic. I mean, this is the world that we're living in.
Maybe what you lack in quantity on Facebook, you make up for in quantity, because that's a good post. I like that. There's a lot of like visual imagery in that Facebook post. My posts are more usually like, I had a sandwich for lunch.
Did you?
No.
Oh, we were just talking about deliciousness. So there are brownies on your counter over there.
I
made those.
Very excited about those brownies. She brought ice cream too. Heather is the best podcasting guest you can ever have come to your house.
Snacks. Yes. But yesterday I was compelled to post on Facebook. And I posted a song because as a music person, regardless of whether or not I am physically on your radio, that's how I communicate in music. So I posted this Andra Day song, and I encourage you to listen to it. It kind of hit me in all the feels.
Sure.
There's a line about feeling like it's hard to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I was like, we've got a virus stealing the air from our lungs. George Floyd lost the air from his lungs in an act of violence, and I am left breathless in awe watching this vehicle ascend into the sky
for the first time in a long time.
Yes. I mean, it was a roller coaster of emotion yesterday, the entire thing. I mean, so many people reached out to me yesterday, and this is one of the reasons I don't post on Facebook. I don't like, this is going to sound terrible about me, but I don't like putting in the effort when there's not a response.
Sure.
So when I worked for radio stations and I had a platform where I knew there were going to be interactions, I felt like, okay, it's worth it. But
sure,
I don't want to post about the sandwich I had today and then have three people like it and then sit there and be like, well, why did I spend the time on that post? It felt nice to have people kind of interact with me and say, yes, this song was so meaningful for me. And, you know, I listened to the song years ago. I remember hearing it for the first time when the record label brought it by. And I was like, this is a good song, but it just hit me in a new way.
Sure.
So I would encourage you to, you can link it.
I could totally link it.
Yes. So if I had to pick an anthem for today, it would be Andra Day.
I feel kind of bad because I actually saw your Facebook post and I saw the song, but I think I was like watching TV. So I think I just liked it and didn't listen to the song and did not comment to give you that positive like Facebook feedback loop. I feel bad now. I'll do it next time.
No, it's okay. I want it to be authentic and real.
No interaction I've ever had on Facebook has been authentic or real. It's okay. It's all right.
So here we are. We're not talking about Christmas things. However, we are going to give you ideas, much like we give you ideas about Christmas. Because strategically, this podcast is about us ingesting the world.
Yes.
Developing tips and tricks and ideas and sending them right back to you. We're the middlemen in your life system.
Makes sense.
Yes. So one of the articles that we both saw was 75 things white people can do for racial justice. I actually really like the graphic on the front of the article that says white people, period, do something, period. Pretty neat.
It's really the least we can do.
Google whether your local police department currently outfits an on-duty police officers with body-worn cameras. and require that the body-worn cameras be turned on immediately when officers respond to a police call. That didn't occur to me. Google whether your city or town employs evidence-based police de-escalation trainings. I mean, that was something that you and I just briefly talked about. I mean, I don't know how to act if I'm arrested.
Right. I think a lot of people don't.
You know, I don't know what it feels like exactly. I'll tell you a story about the time I was almost arrested by accident.
So you've never actually been arrested, only almost arrested.
Right.
Okay.
But I don't know how. All I know is what I've seen on television.
Sure.
Which I'm pretty sure is not true.
No.
Right? So you and I were talking and I was like, I feel like there needs to be classes in high school. Like, I feel like there needs to be a life skills class in high school. Because, I mean, I learned how to make an apron and make cookies and varnish wood and all these things, weld. I learned all this stuff.
High school in New Jersey must have been so much better than high school in Utah, because I learned how to make a wind sock.
I don't even know what a wind sock is.
I mean, who does? Like, it's the
is
least.
Is it like a dream catcher?
Kind of. I mean, it's like one of those things you put outside so you know which way the wind's blowing.
Oh, okay.
A wind sock.
Okay.
But an apron actually makes sense. Like, you can use the apron to make the cookies that they taught you how to make.
Yes. Yeah, I actually still have the apron. I was recently at my
mom's
adorable.
House. That's adorable.
Yeah. I can't get it to tie around my waist anymore.
That's
because
an easy
I've expanded.
Fix. That is an easy fix.
Apparently, I was much smaller in high school, although I don't, I never felt small back then. It's kind of funny how that
right?
works.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, to tell myself the things that I know now.
So I had a thought while you were talking about this, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But you want to have a class that teaches people how to get arrested properly. But just like having like evidence-based sex ed leads to sex, according to a lot
oh,
of people.
I didn't
does,
know.
I mean, it doesn't. It absolutely does not. But a lot of people think it does. Mm-hmm. Does having how to get arrested classes lead to people getting arrested?
I don't know, Cliff. I don't know.
It's probably wrong.
I have the ideas.
It's good.
So I like to fix things and solve them. I'm not saying this is a good idea.
It's not a bad idea.
I just don't think that there is a standardized operating procedure for being arrested.
Sure.
Like, I feel like there needs to be a standard operating procedure for the police officers who arrest you and for the person who's being arrested.
Sure.
So you know how to do it.
Yeah.
Because the time I almost got arrested, I was very confused.
Sure.
I was very thrown off.
How old were you?
I was in my early 20s.
Okay.
I was definitely an adult.
Experienced in the world, but inexperienced in being arrested.
Right.
Sure.
And I want to qualify this story by saying I am white, and I am aware that my experience is nothing like the black community faces. And I am in a position where I want to understand and support in any way that I can. I am only bringing up this story because I'm trying to be constructive.
Sure.
And it is the only point of understanding from personal experience that I have. So everything that you would imagine about me in my early 20s is correct. at the time, I was driving the Volkswagen Beetle convertible that I had when you met me. I drank lots and lots of coffee from Starbucks. And I worked at a radio station like I did when you met me.
Sure.
So I had this little hack. On my way into work every day, I would stop at this grocery store that had a Starbucks inside it because there was never a line.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So I go in there, I'm bouncing out with only my Starbucks, and behind me, there's a police officer who is yelling, and they're yelling out a name. I don't remember the name they were yelling, so let's just say it was Monica.
Sure.
Monica, Monica, Monica. And I look behind me because I'm like, what's going on?
Maybe he just really liked Friends. I mean, it's appropriate for the time.
It is. I look behind. behind me and he continues to yell. And I'm like, me? Like, what? Do you think I am Monica? I'm very confused. And then I look to the other side of me. And I see there's another cop with a weapon drawn coming towards me.
Jesus.
So now I have people from both sides coming towards me. I still don't realize that they think it's me.
Yikes.
So I start backing away from both of them, assuming that I'm in their way to right. get to Monica.
Yeah, absolutely what you'd think.
Yes. There are these two officers coming towards me, weapons drawn, yelling at Monica. And I'm like, shoot, I got to get out of the way.
That's not, don't think that.
Oh, well, yeah. Darn. Yeah. So then I realize they're talking to me. Monica, get down on the ground. Get down on the ground. So I slowly go to my knees as not to spill my drink. I remember so specifically because I always got the same drink. I had a venti latte iced, you know, in that plasticky.
Yeah.
And I was in a parking lot of a grocery store. So I remember the pebbles. I remember the way the pebbles felt on my knees when I knelt down. I remember like moving my cup a little bit so it didn't spill. You know, in the gravel.
You've got to protect the Starbucks.
Yes. I had a little satchel purse that I gently put down on the ground. Because again, I'm in my early 20s. Like everything I bought was a big deal because I was having to earn my own money. So I get down on the ground. And I started to become afraid.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize how far to the ground they wanted me to be.
Sure.
So it was like knees and then chest and then the side of my face. I remember the way it felt to have my cheek on the gravel. And that was very vulnerable and strange. Yeah. I mean, you're never in a position in a parking lot like that in real life. So when you are, it just feels very odd.
Yeah.
I continue to say, I'm not Monica. I'm a radio DJ at XYZ station. Right, Monica. You know, they don't believe me at all. What's going on today? What were you doing? And I'm just like, I'm not this person. Look at my ID in my purse. And one officer says to the other, can you reach it? And I think they're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to reach for it. And then they flip out. No, not you. Not you. Down on the ground. Like, and that's when I got really, really afraid. Because I was like, oh, no, that's not what you're supposed. Like, they think I'm reaching for a wet. Like, oh, darn. Like, needless to say, they go in my purse. They see that I am who I say I am. And then all of a sudden, they're nice. I'm allowed to get up. It's fine. They tell me that this woman, Monica, was wanted for Grand Theft Auto. One of the vehicles that she stole was parked there at the grocery store. I apparently look exactly like her. So someone at the grocery store saw me, called them, and then they just immobilized me. But it was very odd because they were so nice when they realized it wasn't the person. And I left. I went to work and I told my coworkers because I was the drama queen at the time.
At the time.
You're not going to believe what happened to me just getting my Starbucks. I can't believe I didn't spill my drink. You know. But it's like, I didn't get hurt. But it was really scary.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, I defend the police a lot. I've defended the police a lot in the past. Because I can't imagine going to a job every day where I am risking my life. I'm walking into danger. Like you said, or maybe I said it, we only know what we know about police officers from TV.
Yeah.
So we see shows like Blue Bloods and I'm like, oh, they're good guys and they're just trying to do the right thing. And but then when you're in a situation where you're being potentially arrested, when you're being immobilized, or I don't even know what you would call what happened to me.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's very scary.
And I think you realize looking at that situation in the past that could have gone a bunch of different ways. And if you had been a person of color, that easily could have ended up with you being dead.
Yes.
And that's a terrifying thing. And that's a thing that I think a lot of people that are like you and I that don't live with that fear every day don't realize, that as a parent of a child who is not white, that's something that they have to teach their kids every single day, that if you get arrested, you do what they say because otherwise they could kill you, that you don't reach for your purse because if you reach for your purse, they could kill you. I read a Twitter post yesterday where a guy said that he had to stop carrying his wallet in his back pocket. And every time he gets in his car, he takes it out of his back pocket and puts it in the side of his, like, you know, the pocket in your car, because he doesn't want to get pulled over and have to worry about getting shot when he reaches for a wallet in his back pocket. And that is something that you or I never have to think about, but that millions of Americans have to think about every day.
Well, and I can tell you that in my experience, these were moments that didn't even occur to me to think about previously. When someone's yelling out a name that is not your name and they're coming with guns towards you, you don't think they're coming for you. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I was backing away could have been perceived as I was trying to flee or I was resisting.
Yep.
Absolutely wasn't. I was confused. When I hear someone say, "Can you reach it?" Oh, I just said it's in my purse. I hear, "Can you reach it?" Oh, you know, because I'm coming from a standpoint of I've done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And just like you're saying, if my skin was a different color, would it have gone differently?
Yeah.
I can tell you it was terrifying, even though it didn't go differently.
Yeah.
And that, and I've never told that story in the context of the police officers were wrong. It was a mistake that happened. They thought I was someone I wasn't.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And that's the problem, though, with lethal force.
Yes.
Is that you can't make those mistakes. Or you only get the opportunity to make that mistake once. And terrible things happen. And terrible things happen all the time because of mistakes,
mm-hmm.
which makes you think that maybe lethal force is something we need to take far more seriously than we do.
So just like those experiences of being arrested are scary. And I don't know a lot of people who have been almost arrested.
Sure.
I think it's something we need to start talking about. I don't know if it's a solution, but I do like the next suggestion on this list, which is work on ensuring that Black educators are hired where Black children are being taught.
Absolutely.
I think that the lines of communication, though, we can all work on that. Because again, I'm the only person that I know that had that experience in that parking lot. But I feel like in the Black community, more people have had
absolutely
those types of experiences. So why haven't we talked about that?
Yeah.
Donate to anti-white supremacy work, such as your local Black Lives Matter chapter. So one of the things that I like along the same lines of this, music industry Blackout Tuesday. So a lot of the record label friends are posting messages such as this. Due to recent events, please join us as we take an urgent step of action to provoke accountability and change. As gatekeepers of the culture, it's our responsibility to not only come together to celebrate the wins, but also hold each other up during a loss. Join us on Tuesday, June 2 as a day to disconnect from work and reconnect with our community. Hashtag the show must be paused.
I think that's great.
Here's the politics maybe behind that. There's some ambiguity in that statement. And I've seen the various labels posting similar messages. It's not exactly the same wording, but it's not specific.
Sure.
So I want to get a little more specific, especially with that notation on the list we were just talking about. How meaningful would it be for a business to donate all their profits from that day to Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely.
So not only is it this day where we give back to our community, or we reflect, or we pick up the phone and we open a dialogue with some constructive communication, but maybe one of these major corporations, like the biggest one I can think of is Amazon, says, hey, all of our profits from today are going to go to this cause. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, for Amazon, it's millions and millions of dollars.
So I like that idea.
I do too. And I wonder, like, obviously, if you're on the internet, you've seen a lot of companies post things that are supportive yet generic.
Yes.
And I wonder if doing things like saying, hey, we're going to donate $1 million to Black Lives Matter is just a step too far for a company. Like, if it's, if that is too politically dangerous, too supportive for a big corporation. So I would love to see, I've seen a lot of people, like I'm a big Twitter user, and I've seen people raising tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars supporting various charities around this movement. And I have not seen a lot of companies stepping up, and I would love to see more of them happen. And maybe it's just because we're talking kind of over a weekend right now that there just aren't the executives around to make those kind of decisions, or at least make those kind of decisions without a meeting happening or something like that. So maybe on Monday and Tuesday, we'll see a bunch of companies actually step up. But so far, mostly I've just seen messages where I'd like to see companies put some money where their mouths is. But at the same time, too, it's a bad economic time for a lot of companies as well. So I don't know.
I think part of the challenge is that change takes time.
Absolutely.
Sadly. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing people on my Facebook friends list that would not have spoken up 5 years ago that are now speaking up. I am, and it's not to say that they were against the equality movement, but they weren't speaking out for it. And there's a movement now talking about how silence is compliance.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people are acknowledging that and accepting that silence is compliance, and they're speaking out when they didn't previously. And I think that's a good step in the right direction. But I think it's going to take a while. I mean, with same-sex marriage, there are a lot of politicians that took a long time to get on board.
Absolutely.
I wish it wasn't a slow process, but changing someone's mindset and the way they think and the way they view the world takes some time.
I think you're absolutely right, and you do need to be vocal about it, and you need to be supportive of it. I think you also need to be educated about it, and if you're not, being supportive can just mean giving a voice to people that may not have the platform that you do. It may be better for you not to talk or be opinionated if you aren't ready to be so. But that does mean that you can use your platform to raise other people that are. There are so many smart, smart people on the internet right now saying smart, smart things. Look for those people. And probably look for people that don't look like you that are saying smart things, and elevate those voices instead of maybe adding your own to the conversation if you're not ready to. But you need to be vocal, you need to be supportive, and you need to be out there.
And one of the reasons why I keep bringing up points that other people are posting, hey, this person's doing that, this person's doing this, is because instead of having a bunch of people on our quote unquote show today, we are still respecting distancing. Yeah. So Cliff and I are in a very, very tight quarantine club.
Yeah, that's, I told someone today we were in a quarantine bubble.
Yes.
I don't see anyone else. You don't see anybody else.
Right.
We see each other. That's it.
Yes. So I don't know. We're kind of like quarantine swingers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cliff's wife is chuckling in the background. But yeah, so maybe a step in the right direction, Cliff, is when we are able, we invite some of our friends of color onto this podcast.
That'd be awesome.
I think that is something we can easily do.
Yeah.
Open up our platform to that. Speaking of something that I'm stealing from someone else, my friend Rio posted on Facebook. She said, some of y'all need this energy. And then she shared the meme. As a non-Black person, it's not our place to comment on how Black people should react to issues in their community. Hashtag check your privilege.
Absolutely.
So I think that that's really interesting right now and meaningful with the protests and riots and looting. A lot of people are referring to the protests and the rioting and the looting as non-constructive.
Sure.
However, silent protests have not enacted change.
No.
Rioting is being quoted all over the place. An MLK quote, a riot is the language of the unheard. So that would be the next step up after your peaceful silent protests aren't working. And then a lot of people associate looting not with destruction of property, not with stealing, but a reallocation of wealth.
Absolutely.
Restitution.
Yep.
So, yeah, if you're a white person and you're stealing from the Louis Vuitton store, that's not good. But the act of looting is potentially a valid part of a protest movement.
Absolutely. And I think that every time I run into someone who gets angry at something like this, or even like past Black Lives Matter protests where they're like, I can't believe they're just letting those people shut down a freeway. I'm like, would you have even been talking about it if someone didn't shut down a freeway? Like, if they'd just gone and had a peaceful march and everything had gone fine and everyone went home, would it even registered to you? But no, when you shut down a freeway, people notice. And that's what this is about, making people who have not noticed for years and years and years, dozens of years, hundreds of years, potentially, finally sit up and take notice.
I agree with you. And I want to be very specific. I'm not glorifying or telling people that they should go out and steal things, or they should loot from stores, or they should spray paint, or they should damage. But I'm coming from a standpoint of, I don't think it's an overreaction to what has been happening in the world.
No.
To people who have not been heard or respected, or treated appropriately for years.
Absolutely.
My whole lifetime, however long.
Our parents' whole lifetime.
The whole thing. So, I'm coming from a standpoint of, how can we do better? How can we be part of a solution? What can we do? How can we fix this?
I think so much of that is research. And Heather and I were talking. I'll post her list that she's been picking a couple items off of in our show notes. I have a really good list of reading material that I got off Twitter that I've been very impressed with. I'll post that as well. And I think if you have resources that you'd like us to boost a little bit, we would be very open to making sure that happens. So if there's something that you've read or you've seen or you found interesting, please pass that over to us and we will definitely do that as well.
One thing that I do want to touch on, and I know it's out there on the internet, but there are still people that haven't heard it yet. Cliff, have you heard the house on fire analogy?
I haven't. No, tell me.
Okay, so a lot of times we post the hashtag Black Lives Matter. And then the response hashtag is hashtag All Lives Matter. And that is problematic because it's seen as a counter protest. So there's a really cool analogy. I don't know who started it. Imagine that there's a house on fire on your block. It doesn't mean that the houses that are not on fire don't matter, but the fire department doesn't need to go spray down all the houses today. They're just focused on the house that's on fire. And right now, our Black community is on fire. It's suffering. It needs help.
Absolutely.
And so hashtag Black Lives Matter doesn't mean other lives don't matter. But people need to understand that saying all lives matter is damaging.
Yeah.
So we've barely gotten to the first 10 suggestions here on this list. One of the things that I do like is support Black businesses. And I'm part of a Seattle foodie group on Facebook. And there was a thread with a list of businesses. So you can go to your town and just find a foodie group on Facebook. And it's very easy to make those kinds of lists, especially right now, when businesses are struggling, especially the restaurant industry.
Yep.
Small choices like where you get your takeout tonight could make a very big difference.
Absolutely. And frankly, get something a little bit different. You're going to be pleasantly surprised how good that food is. And just stretch yourself a little bit. Get something from a you know, if your idea of going out for something international is Taco Bell, like just push a little bit further and see where you end up. I think you'll be very happy with the food you get.
Absolutely. And if anything was going to draw us out of our quarantine, this was it.
Absolutely.
It really was a time to come together, and our world has been very separated recently for a variety of reasons. One of my friends brought up the concept that they were surprised that so many people have come out for this, have come out of their homes and stood on the street with signs, and that's how big a deal it is.
Absolutely.
It's enough to trump our fear of a virus that could kill us.
Yeah. That being said, if you're going to a protest, mask up for a lot of reasons.
Yes, please do. Please be safe. And please tell us how we can do better.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's something that we've said that isn't right,
right.
We want to change. Always be learning, because that's really probably the most important thing you can be doing right now, is always be learning. If you are white like I am, there is a million things you do not know and that you don't understand. And the only way you can fix that is to read a lot and ingest a lot and talk to people who have experiences that you don't have.
All that stuff.
All that stuff.
We'll be back to Christmas, hopefully. Hopefully the world will be a little bit nicer, a little bit more hopeful, a little bit more loving by the time we speak with you next.
Absolutely.